Welcome to the Love and Mention. I'm Pastor Evans.
I'm Mrs. Evans.
Glad you joined us today. So we're excited to get into this next episode with you. We have three different topics that we want to talk to you about. The first one is going to church.
Going to church. Not just going to church, but going to church together as a newly married couple.
Right. So one of the things that you have to establish if you are church-going folk, as we are, when you get married is whether you're going to go to a new church, whether you're going to go to or which church you're going to attend, right?
I mean that supposes that you don't already go to the same church.
If you don't already go to the same church, right?
Right.
So, right. If that is not the case, you need to determine where you're going to worship. So for us, it was my wife came to the church I was attending at the time, and that's how it went. And we had some experiences, and I don't know. What'd you want to say?
No, I'm joking. So this was a time of transition because I was inundated by the mothers of the church with the idea that a wife is supposed to go to her husband's church. And so I left my home church, a church that I have been going to, not on a consistent basis, but I have been there ever since I was in single digits. And so I left that church to go to the church that my husband was going to. And at the time, I gladly left because I felt like I had gotten good counsel. Not necessarily.
Now, was that the women at your old church or the women at the church I was...
The women at the church you were going to.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Because
The women at the church that I was going to didn't necessarily have an opinion. I mean, they didn't share it with me.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then pretty quickly, you got hit with some other ideas about what your position was supposed to be in the church. Because at the time, I was in...
He was
in
a
leadership.
Deacon.
I was a deacon
right.
in the church.
I felt like I had gotten pushed into a lot of areas that I didn't feel like God was calling me to.
Right.
And then that is when I learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. About a year into being a deaconess, I felt like God was speaking to me saying, "What are you doing, girl? This is not your destiny. What are you doing, giring? Girl? This is not your destiny."
Okay.
Right? And so I was like, "Is this you, Jesus?" So then I realized at the time that you can't allow people to tell you where you're supposed to be. You can't allow people to tell you where they think that you should be in your life at any point in your life.
Right.
And you really have to take control and find out where God is telling you where you should be. Mm-hmm. And even though they're pushing you, they may be pushing you in an area which can be helpful to like other people, and you feel like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian. So, you know, it's important for me to serve or whatever." You cannot let people push you into a position that God is not placing you in. Mm. That is just not a place that you want to be.
Right.
Even though it might be a place of help, a place of love, and a place of serving, if God don't want you there, then you're doing more harm than help.
Yeah.
And so, and then outside the church also, you really can't allow people to tell you where you should be headed. You really have to listen to your heart. You really have to listen to the gifts that God has given you, because God gives gifts, okay, to the saved and the unsaved. And so you really have to figure out where God or where you feel like your heart is leading you. And then that's when you will be blessed. That is when you will prosper. And you may not be a millionaire, but you will have the desires of your heart. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So for me, I think that either I learned or it got reiterated to me that your first ministry is to your spouse, right? So where she joined the church that I was already attending, and I was in leadership, and people were telling her things. And while she was going through the whole deaconess thing, I don't think I really ever said anything about it, because you were like, "Oh, they said I was supposed to do this," and I was like, "Oh, that might be good," but that really wasn't what you needed to be doing. You got to be mindful of who your spouse is, who your partner is, and just be vocal about and be conscious of and be careful of what folks are telling them based on what they think, mm-hmm. right? Just because folks are in the church don't mean they have the right answers all right. the time. So after, not really after, because we stayed there for quite a while at the church. We just left not too long ago. But the next topic or right. section is our first move. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really exciting. In the last episode, we told you that we were living in a studio
was it really
apartment.
Exciting?
It was exciting. And we were living in a studio apartment.
It was exciting, y'all.
Right? We were living in a studio apartment, and then we acquired a much bigger one-bedroom apartment. And you could tell them how far we had to move.
We literally moved like maybe 20 feet. It was like two doors down.
Right.
We moved two doors down, and at the time, you have to remember, we shared with you earlier that my brother was staying with us.
Right.
And so this was our opportunity to allow my brother to stay in the living room section, yes. and now we had a door.
Had a door for the first time in our marriage. I don't remember how long it was.
We moved. My brother came with us in December.
Right.
And then we moved in January.
Was it January? I was about to say February. I wasn't sure. So it wasn't too long.
No, it wasn't too long. But right. While we were all in the studio, it made it difficult for us to experience have experiences with each other.
Yeah.
As far as our love life went, it was
tough.
I mean, he was like 1 foot away from us.
Yeah, it was nowhere to go. It was a studio.
Right. No doors, no anything. So when we were able to move, to the one bedroom apartment, it made it a lot easier for us to share special moments.
Right. Yeah. And then that move allowed for us to get some privacy, some space, have some more conversations, and then also be able to minister to different parts of our family too.
Right.
Because at one point we had 8 people.
We had a lot of people in
like,
there.
Like 8 people, mostly kids, but 8 people.
Right.
In our spacious one-bedroom apartment.
Right, in our 600 square feet.
Right. Yeah, so that was our first move.
Right.
It was exciting, though.
Like, we doubled the square footage.
We doubled the square footage.
300 square feet to 600 square feet.
Yeah, and then we just carried the stuff. It took us about 3 days to get it done. Just carried the stuff from one door to the next door, and
that was officially cool. Our first move.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, what were your lessons?
What was the lesson I learned from the move? Planning is important. Since then, we've moved probably 7 more times before we got to the home that we're living in now. We moved about 7 more times since then. And planning is important. Now, planning is important when you're moving, literally. But figuratively, when you're moving in your relationship, planning is important. You gotta kind of head out, know where you're going, prepare the place that you're going, and then pack the things up in a way that they can be moved and not broken. Right. So planning is important. That's what I learned.
And so the lesson that I learned and that I continue to learn throughout our marriage, that you have to make room for your spouse.
Right.
And the reason why I say that is because initially when we got married and we moved into my studio, mm-hmm. and it had all of my things, I only had a couple pieces of furniture because only a couple pieces would fit, but it had all of my furniture. And so literally when my husband came, he brought himself and a few bags.
Right.
That's it. And so I didn't necessarily have to make space for him other than about an eighth of the closet. Because he didn't even bring that many clothes. So my closet was like a pretty big closet, and I made this much space for him.
Right.
I mean, I didn't have any dresses at the time. Everything was in my closet.
Right.
And so when we moved to the one bedroom, that was the opportunity for us to kind of open up and decide like, oh, you like this furniture. I like that furniture. Oh, you know, what are we going to sit on? Oh, what is our bed going to look like?
Right.
And I had to start learning how to be like, oh, compromise, is that a thing?
Right. You had to consider what I might want or not. And what I might like or not like.
Right. And this was your opportunity to like say, oh, my mom wants to give us this. And for me to be like, ah, I don't like that. Right. And decide whether or not I'm going to say anything, whether or not, you know, I am committed to having our new home because we're moving in it together. Because before you moved in with me.
Right.
But now we were moving, even though we moved like 20 feet away.
It was like 20 feet.
It was our home.
Right.
And I don't know if you felt that way, though. Like,
I think I did. Like, looking back, I don't know if I felt it at the time. I know that at the time I felt like I was thinking more practically at the time, like there's more space, there's a door. That didn't have carpet. I think the studio had carpet.
Right.
The one bedroom didn't have carpet, which was nice. So I think at the time I was thinking more practically, but like thinking back on it now while we're having this conversation, I think I felt like, oh, this is kind of like our space now.
Right.
And I probably still didn't say much about what was going to go in it, but at least there was an opportunity to say something.
Yeah, but it was really hard for me.
But you did a good job of like trying to include me. Like, okay, what do you think we should have? What should we get? That type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it was still, this was a month and a half, two months, maybe.
No.
We were still like a month.
It was like a month.
A month. And we were still trying to figure out what it felt like to be married.
Right.
So it was a new experience. So I think it was good.
I mean, it was a little harder than I would have imagine, because we, like we said earlier, we have been living together for months by this point. Mm-hmm. But again, you have moved in with me. Right. And so I didn't have to be uncomfortable, or I didn't have to try to find space for me to be comfortable in, because I was already comfortable.
Right.
And I hadn't really thought up until this point about you not being comfortable.
Right.
You know, like the 50 million bears that I used to have on my bed, I moved to the bookcase.
Right.
So you lived for all that time with all those bears that I later had to get rid of because he made me, but that's okay. And
right.
But I mean, there were a lot of things that I had to do. I mean, I had to mature, like not age wise, but I had to come into more of my adulthood.
Right.
But then I also had to make space, not just in my heart, right, for you, because you are my husband now, but also and physically in my living space, I had to breathe.
All right. Did you?
And so the last section that we wanted to share with you guys on this particular journey was our experience with working together in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, together.
Right.
Working.
You saying it like
together.
That, like it was bad.
I did not say that.
I thought you said it. Working together.
Well, and the reason why I said it like that, and I said it many times, is because a lot of times I come in contact with couples who said that they could never work together.
Right.
And at the time, I wasn't sure if I could work with you. I mean, because we had been married by that time for what, 3 years?
Two or three. I think you came in 2001, didn't you?
Right.
Yeah.
So it hadn't even been a full 2 years that we had been married, and that during those like a year and so, I had my place of work. He had his place of work. I had school.
No, you weren't in school.
And so the only times that we saw each other were on the weekends, and then after we both got off of work.
Right.
And so now I was faced with the idea that I would go to work with you,
right,
and I would come home to you, and I would wake up with you, and then I had that small portion of time where I was at school.
Right. Yeah. All right, because you were still in school at that time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but you also had that small portion of time where I was at school.
Right.
Right? That we would potentially have time away from each other. So I don't know if you considered it, but I'm sure you were like, that's a lot of space. That's a lot of time.
You know what? I don't remember thinking about it. And what you have to remember too is the private school that we were working together at, the private school that we told you about in the last episode. I was a teacher still at that time, and you came to run the front office.
Right.
But it was the same school, very small school, and it was a school that was attached to the church that we were attending. So we were together from Monday through Friday, all day. And right. Then we was there on Sunday, most of the
day. Sometimes Saturday.
Sometimes Saturday, depending on what was going on. So we were This was at this point in our marriage, we spent almost every waking hour together.
I mean, because yeah. we slept in the same bed, right. So the only times that I had away, and I graduated, matter of fact, I wasn't even in school.
Were you done by then?
I was done, because I had graduated that May, 2001, that May, I started working in September.
Right.
So I wasn't even in school. So, y'all, I just realized.
It was all day, every day.
It was all day.
All me.
Every day.
Well, not all day.
We had coworkers.
Yeah, we were apart during the day.
I mean, but I was in the at class, any waking moment, I could walk past you. I could go walk past your classroom. You was there. You was in the office when I was working.
Right. And I came down to the office just for no reason. Mm-hmm. Just to see her.
Right. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did that for 4 years.
Yeah, we did that for 4 years. Okay. And you would think that we wouldn't have made it. Mm-hmm. Right. But I had a really great time.
Yeah.
I mean, our marriage grew a lot in those 4 years.
Right. Yeah. We would do devotions on the way to work. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, but we would also get in arguments on the way to work.
Also got in arguments on the way to work. We got in arguments on the way to church a few times.
Yes. Oh, yes. Because we were together all the time, y'all. I just realized, Monday through Sunday.
Right.
There weren't any times that we were not together.
Yeah. Yeah. But it worked. Like you said, a lot of people don't say that they couldn't do that. But I don't know if that may have been. No, but we spent time together all the time anyway. Mm-hmm. But that kind of cemented the whole we can be together.
Right.
All the time. Each other's nerves, because I know I got on yours.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. So.
And I'm sure I got on your nerves.
Every once in a while.
But, I mean, we ate together every day. Mm-hmm. We ate lunch together.
Yep.
And so that was really a time of growing for us.
Yeah.
Now, we had our issues still, but I think we did a lot of, I know I did a lot of growing spiritually during that time. I grew closer to Christ during that time, but God also allowed me to grow closer to my husband,
right.
Come to the idea that your spouse has to be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not work with him, you may not even want to work with him,
right?
But
it might not work for everybody,
right? And I know it's a controversial topic about whether or not your spouse should be your best friend, but I learned that lesson, and I mean, it was a 4-year lesson, and I'm happy that I learned it, and I hold firm to it, because I really believe that whether you're Christian or not, that your spouse should be your best friend. Now, I'm not saying that you guys have to work together and spend 24 hours together like we did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even saying that you should drag your spouse to every event you want to go to, and you should go to every event that your husband or your wife wants to go to. I mean, because even when you have a best friend outside of your spouse, you don't go to all their things.
Right.
What I'm saying is that should be your person.
Yeah.
That is who you run to.
Mm-hmm.
That is who you talk to. That is who you confide in. And you guys do things together.
Right.
Right?
So that's your lesson for this one? Your spouse should be your best friend.
Right.
Very good. Mm-hmm. All right, so my lesson is, it's okay to grow in the same spot, right? So my wife talked about, she had some growth. She was able to grow closer to me while we were working together. And she has some her own personal spiritual growth. But it's okay to grow in the same spot. Like, I grew as a professional at that time. And it was really helpful, actually, to have you there to bounce stuff off of what I should and shouldn't be doing while you're working. And then you were able to grow into your position, because when you got there, everybody wanted you to kind of conform to what they wanted you to do.
Right.
But you had your own way of running, because you really were running the office. Like outside of the principal, you were running the whole office and the school for the most part. So, I felt like maybe you should do things this way or that way, but you needed to do them in your own way.
Right.
So I had to grow and learn that even though we're in the same spot, you still need space to grow into your position there. You still need a space to grow for yourself, right? So it's okay to grow in the same spot. So I had to grow. You got to grow, and we have to, and you have to allow yourself to do that. So even if you're spending lots of time together, you still have to allow for growth for your spouse, for your wife or your husband, and then encourage them in that.
And you know what is interesting about our time together is that when I began work there, we were co-workers. And then as time went on, you became my boss.
Right.
You became
for about a
my
year.
My boss,
or
right.
So, about maybe a year and a half.
Right. And I do, and so not only were we working together and we were co-workers, but at a point, like, you were my boss, and I was working. I mean, I worked for the school,
right?
Because there were board members over the school ultimately, like the church was over the school, but you were the next in line for my boss, like directly above me,
right?
Which was interesting, but you never abused that with with confusing that with, you know, crossing the line, like, I'm your husband and I'm your boss type thing. Like, there wasn't a power struggle there. That made me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
So I always appreciated the fact that we could still keep our marriage separate from you being my boss.
I forgot about that part.
Which is strange, because I don't think most people could do it.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe they could. I don't know, but I don't think so.
I don't know, but we got...
I'm fantastic.
You are fantastic.
I'm like a fantastic employee.
Yes.
I'm really good.
Yes, and she's really humble, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm a brat.
Well, I guess that is the last story for today. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. That's all.
That's it. That's all. See you next time.